Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here. And we're really glad that you're here on Canada Day. Here we are. Canada Day. I hope that all of you are going to come to... It's sunny in the park. It's really sunny. I just drove by there. It's really sunny, and it's really warm. If you come, you're going to perhaps get one of these. Isn't this the... I mean, you've probably never seen one of these before. You can do this with... And you can probably get some buttons like I have here. You can't... Because you need glasses. Because these are big. And then the best of all, you might be able to get one of those. Now, I know. Like, that's washable. Muscles are real. No. That's why I wear long shirts, for real. I hope you can come. It's going to be what it is over there, but we can handle it. Wear your layers. It's going to be good. Today, we're beginning a summer series. Really excited about it. It's called Full. And the verse that will kind of anchor us through the seven discussions is this. I have come. These are Jesus' words. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And it's found in John, it's a gospel, New Testament, John chapter 10, verse 10. And it's a verse that has some very important significance, I think, to us. We're considering Jesus' statements. There's places where Jesus kind of went out there and he said, I am. And there's seven times that in the New Testament he does this. And this morning we're looking at one of them, I am the bread of life. So there's these places where Jesus says, this is who I am. And he wanted people to get his name right. I think if you get his name right, you'll perhaps get a lot of other things right. And Jesus wanted us to get his name right. And again, in a moment we'll look at Jesus is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You have to get people's names right. There was a situation a few years ago that I got somebody's name wrong, and it still is duly noted as the most embarrassing moment of my life. And even in sharing this story, I get tense in my chest for absolute 100% real. It happened at a wedding. So at Living Waters right now, this is wedding season, and this room that you're in seems to get transformed more and more and more right now. And because it's wedding season. And so my terror happened at a wedding. And this is what happened. And there's no good ending to the story. So don't think this is a happy ever after. This is just, I'm putting it out there, a terrible story. And I'm living it still. So I married two couples. One was named Jonathan and Gina. And the other couple was Jonathan and Sheena. For real. 100% for real. So what I'm talking about is Jonathan and Sheena's wedding. And it was a beautiful day. They were married on the Gulf Islands, and it was ocean, you know, front. And they spent all kinds of money to make the decorate. Like, the sun was shining, and I was standing on the shore, and they were looking past me at the ocean. And everything was in white, and they just did it right. And it was beautiful. The bride came in with the bagpipes, and it was just perfect until I got involved. So here I'm standing, and at some point in this beautiful officiating, my mind switched off of Sheena to Gina. And so you can imagine where this story is going. It's going to crash. So through the ceremony, Jonathan and Gina, and I literally saw, and I didn't know why, what was happening in the room. I didn't know. I didn't catch it. I didn't hear myself, and it was awful, awful. So I instantly began to see all the people in the room start to stop smiling, and then when I did it again, they start to frown, and then finally scowl, for real. I didn't know many of them, and it was awful. And the worst was the little grandmother, like right over here, the little grandmother. And she was all happy until I got into this. And then she was like the mean mug, right? She was like, and I didn't even know her. It was terrible. It was terrible. You have to get names right. You really do, especially in a wedding. In this summer series, I think we're going to note in these seven sayings of Jesus's, people, you need to get my name right. Because if you get my name right, then other things will fall in place. We're going to see as Jesus makes statements about himself, and even as we look this morning at the bread of life, we're going to quickly see that Jesus was asking his audience, it was a large crowd in Capernaum, and he was asking this large crowd to consider their quality of life and to consider the ingredients that we use, to evaluate our quality of life. And let's look at John chapter 6 and just engage quickly in this story. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. And Jesus replied, and here is the first I am statement, for I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. If you've ever had to introduce yourself, you're faced with a challenge that needs to be answered. It's easy, the question rises, do I introduce myself based upon who I am, or do I introduce myself based upon the things that I do and accomplish? And to be duly noted in this text, in all the seven statements, Jesus is introducing himself in a way that says, this is who I am. And he was making it the responsibility of the audience to figure out or to testify if that made any difference whatsoever to who they were. And this is what happens in this brief story here. So let's consider Jesus' I am statement, and let's consider if that makes any difference to our lives whatsoever. So Jesus in verse 33 says, the true bread of God. So of course, bread is a common staple then, now. So the illustration is quickly riveting, I suppose. But the word that Jesus uses here for bread is not referring to the completed warm loaf on the counter. Jesus is referring to the ingredients that make that loaf even possible and ultimately digestible. He's referring to the ingredients. So we could maybe move a word out and move another word in. The true ingredients that God provides. The true ingredients. So again, we're talking about the flour, the yeast. We're talking about the ingredients that make us have a better quality of life. He's asking the audience to consider the important ingredients, the important aspects, components that produce the best quality of life. Some would say, you know, cooking is an art and baking is a science. They say it's an exact science, and I'm really not accomplished at either. But when it comes to baking bread, we have a bread machine, you know, cheat, cheat, cheat. And I've noticed, even in the simple use of a bread machine, when you get the ingredients wrong, the outcome is different. It's an exact science. If you substitute a teaspoon for a tablespoon or a quarter cup for a half cup, what ends up in front of you is not ever what you can imagine or even want. In this first I am statement, Jesus is claiming to be the one that holds within himself the exact and necessary ingredients to this higher quality of life. Is the one, Jesus says, who comes down from heaven. This true bread, these ingredients, is the one who comes down from heaven. So here we see these exact ingredients, these necessary ingredients, is what Jesus is saying. This is what I bring. When I draw near, and we've been studying this, when I draw near, I bring the ingredients. I bring the exact ingredients that are necessary for a better quality of life. Now notice what he says here. These ingredients are his, right? They come down from heaven. So these ingredients are his possession until they become our possession. They're in his keeping until they are in our keeping. And that duly notes an exchange which needs to happen. The giftings that he possesses need to come down from heaven. I give them to the world. I give this life to this world. This word life needs to be understood as well. Jesus is offering, again, the exact ingredients to a life that's full of spiritual vitality, spiritual animation, and then lastly, a life that doesn't ever, ever end. Zoe life is eternal life. It's eternal life. And again, eternal life is only something that we can receive from the bread of life. So as this conversation was unfolding, this large crowd in Capernaum, the curiosity of the crowd was increasing. And let's look at their responses. Now, of course, the crowd is full of individuals. Look at how these individuals responded. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. It's interesting the crowd called them sir. I've never seen that. Sir. Whoa. But it's an appropriate word because of what was happening in their hearts. This word sir is referencing a person that has something in his possession that another person needs. Person holds something that another person needs. And so in that statement, it was one of actually the most honoring statements a crowd could make. The crowd was recognizing that Jesus had something that they needed, that he held the keys to a better quality of life on earth and for all eternity. So they said, give us this bread and give it to us every day. By equating Jesus with the ingredients to this full life, the crowd was saying, these ingredients are essential. The bread of life is essential for quality life. It's essential. It's necessary. The crowd realized that day that there was something missing. And the way they discovered it, because they were contrasting their quality of life with this quality of life that they were beginning to understand that Jesus was offering them, this Zoe life. See, Jesus came, friends, that we would have spiritual life that would overflow more than enough, reaching every part of our human spirit, every part of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, reaching every part of our physical body. Zoe life. For Jesus comes that day and then this day, not to disregard us, but rather he comes to enlarge our lives. He doesn't come to shrink, he comes to enlarge your life. The bread of life comes to enlarge our lives. So just for a moment, consider life without the ingredients of this Zoe life. Think about this life on earth. Absent of Zoe life, life without spiritual direction. And what often happens, I see tendencies in my own life with this. When we move away from Zoe life and we make life about something else, we find that often who moves into the center of life is self, right? Self moves in. Because self is often considered in the context of life on earth rather than in the shadow of the opportunity and interests of eternal life. The Bible speaks about this in Ecclesiastes, actually. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? So here we have life absent of Zoe life. But this Zoe life that Jesus gives lifts a person's gaze. And I encourage you to hear this, and grants them an eternal perspective. And then by doing so, makes life on earth more delightful, more richer, and more fuller. Because when a person holds on more tightly to Jesus It allows them to loosen their hold on the things of this earth, and then as a result of that, can enjoy the things of the earth more richly and more fuller. Does that make sense? The more tightly you hold on to Jesus, the looser you can hold on to the things of this world and then begin to actually be able to enjoy them for actually what they are. So the crowd that day said, "Give us this bread. Give it to us, Jesus, every day. Give us the ingredients to a full life, a life with meaning, purpose, strength, and a daily appreciation of our need to embrace you each day, holding you tightly and holding the things of this earth less and less tightly." So the bread of life is essential. We also see here where Jesus replied, "Yep, I am." So again, here's Jesus' first I am statement. I am the bread of life. See, the bread of life is essential. The bread of life elevates Jesus' divinity. And this is very important as well. He does it in two ways. For Jesus here says, "I am the bread of life." And he is the only person that can say that. He's the one. Nobody else. It's not anybody in this room. We look to Jesus, the I am, the bread of life. You are that person. And it second elevates his deity because it represents a covenant. A covenant relationship that Jesus always wants to make with people. A covenant relationship that says, regardless of what you do or don't do, I will never change. And I seek to make a covenant promise with you. I will provide for you today and all of your tomorrows. And I will keep on providing you the key ingredients for a full, abundant life on earth and for all eternity. I've got what you need. I've got what you need. So the bread of life is essential, and it elevates Jesus in his divinity. And I think we need to do the same. The full life that Jesus offers provides the ingredients for a certain quality of life on earth. And from the moment of receiving this gift of new life, we receive eternal life. Eternal life. If you've become a follower of Christ, the Spirit that dwells within you is eternal. And we don't often talk about this, but it's true. It's true. I hold the gift of eternal life. I'm pretty excited about that. And as I know some of your stories in this room, you hold the gift of eternal life. See, this bread of life is not about a shelf. It's about receiving the bread of life. It's about you and I needing, again, to think of ourselves. See, this is huge. It elevates the deity. And as a result of that, friends, we need to begin, to continue to begin, to think about ourselves in the way that Jesus thinks about us. He is asking us to think of our lives more than the 60 or 70 or 80 years of life on earth, which he's very mindful of. But he's asking us to enlarge our picture, enlarge our perspective. He wants us to think about our forever and our ever. And know the good things that come from this. Ecclesiastes says, "He has planted eternity in the human heart." Genesis, "I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth." Samuel, "For you have spoken, and when you grant a blessing to your servant, O sovereign Lord," it's an eternal blessing. Jeremiah, "They will bind themselves to the Lord with an eternal covenant that will never be forgotten." We can't study the bread of life without talking about eternity. This verse implies that God draws near, and he says, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm in your todays, I'm in your tomorrows, and I'm with you for all eternity. I've got you. I've got this. I've got your back, and I've got your future." And in Capernaum that day, this is what was being contemplated in a beautiful way, and it seemed like the crowd was understanding and was responding. Jesus says, "For whoever believes in me will never hunger or thirst again." So this word "never" again, this creates timelines. This creates context of time. Never, never again. God draws near because he understands human thirst and human hunger. And that hunger and that thirst we see in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, we see man's response to try to satisfy this, and we see some of the end results. So God, Jesus, comes along to redeem our story, knowing that mankind has a hunger and a craving for their lives to matter. Mankind has a hunger for affirmation and recognition. Mankind has a hunger to be noticed and needed. Mankind has a thirst for love, deep need to feel accepted, to feel effective, to feel significant, to feel like contributors, a thirst to feel that our lives are being caught up in a story that's larger than our own, a thirst to live a life that's not meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. So friends, I'd encourage you today to let the promise of eternity rise in your heart. Rise in your heart. Because Zoe life is about a quality of life on earth, but it's about an eternal life of promise. So don't, when you think about your forever and your forever, it's not a time to be afraid. It's a time to receive the affirmation of a loving Father who thinks of you with love and affirmation and a desire to spend eternity with you, because that's what's on his mind. Jesus isn't drawing near to disregard us or discourage us. Rather, he draws near to enlarge our view of himself so we can appropriately enlarge our view of ourselves. And I think the order of that is the best order. If we get it backwards, I think we miss something significant. I'm going to invite you to the instruments, please. We're considering in this first of seven messages, Jesus, who says, "I am the bread of life. I am the one who holds the ingredients to a Zoe life, to an eternal life." My observation, friends, is that people are at their best. People are at their best when they allow the promise and hope of eternal life to rise in their hearts. For this gives fuller meaning and purpose to someone's actions on earth. So again, I encourage you today to allow the promise of eternity to rise in your heart. And I've also noticed that people are at their best when they open themselves to God with humility and repentance, asking God to remove all obstruction so that the abundant flow of his Holy Spirit can move and motivate us. We're at our best when we lean in and live life to the full. I want to invite you to stand as we close. In just a moment, Reuben is going to come and close our service and give us some further direction. But as we end this service, we've carefully selected a chorus that perhaps would be a very appropriate way to say yes to Jesus. This is not a song that you can sing for the person standing beside you. This is a song that one would sing to their Savior, that one would say, "You are the bread of life. Please give me bread every day so that I would know this Zoe life." And I'd encourage you is that you would potentially use this words of this song to be a reflection of your heart, because I think the fulfillment of this prayer takes us to such great places. Thanks for leading us, Nick.
God, we thank you for your gift of eternal life. Lord, we pray that as we go on from here, that you will draw near to us so that we can continue to experience who you are, that you will reveal yourself to us in new ways this week to bring that purpose, the calling that you have for our lives. You have a plan for us. You have life for us here until we spend eternity with you, God. And so we just ask you to do that work in our hearts today and this week. Thank you for your life, Jesus. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, we hope to see you at the Canada Day party. If you're planning on joining us, just head right out onto Glover Road, and then your first right will take you right to the park. We're excited to party, barbecue, throw our faces into watermelons, and we should have a lot of fun. So we'll see you there.